This is Wednesday, March 1st, 1893, of the General Conference session. And Elder D.A. Robinson read the following communication from Elder E.J. Wagoner. London, February 14, 1893. To the General Conference assembled in Battle Creek. Beloved brethren in the Lord, although this field is well represented in your body, yet it has seemed to me that it might be interesting and perhaps profitable to call your attention to some of the features in connection with the work here down to the present time. You know from my own experience that it is the general idea that the greatest progress in the line of religious legislation and preparing the way for the persecution of those who will keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus has been made in the United States. It is very natural that this idea should obtain because there has been so much more agitation there than there has been anywhere else. I am convinced, however, that that idea is not correct, and I wish to call your attention to a few points. It is true that there has been widespread agitation of the questions pertaining to religious liberty in the United States, and the result is seen in the actual committing of the nation to the principles of church and state union. All these things are rightly taken as indications that the end is approaching and as incentives for redoubled activity. But it should not be forgotten that with all the United States has done, it has not yet reached the point which England has held for years, even for centuries. The fact that there has been so much agitation in America while things have seemingly gone along in this country in the same even line naturally leads to the conclusion that persecution is much more imminent in America than it is here. But as a matter of fact, it is not so. There has not been the agitation here because it was not needed. That which the National Reform Association and all its allies have been working for so zealously for years, and which they see now almost within their grasp, England has had all the time. Brother Robinson will tell you, if he has not already done so, of the enthusiasm that the Women's Christian Temperance Union has roused in this country. The meeting which was held in Exeter Hall to welcome Miss Willard has been followed by a series of meetings in different parts of the kingdom addressed by Miss Willard and Lady Somerset, which have in every case been thronged. I attended one in North London, where there was the same rush for seats, scores standing up in a vast overflow meeting. At these meetings, every reference to Sunday closing and woman's suffrage was greeted with the greatest applause. The enthusiasm on these lines seemed to me to be greater here than at similar gatherings that I have attended in the United States. Most of you have doubtless seen the notice of a great demonstration to be held this month in favor of Sunday closing. It was held last night in Exeter Hall. It was a bad night, yet the hall was well filled and with a most enthusiastic and determined crowd. The Lord Bishop of London presided and made a most earnest speech for Sunday closing. Several members of Parliament made speeches. I cannot take the time to present any of the points. You are all familiar with the general arguments advanced at such meetings, but there was one thing most noticeable, and that was that it was not a meeting specially for argument as to the necessity for the closing of public houses on Sunday. It was simply for the purpose of spurring up Parliament. The situation is in brief this. There is a general Sunday law for the kingdom. Only the public houses are by law allowed to be open on Sundays, and they only for certain hours of the day. In Scotland and Wales, there is complete Sunday closing, and also in Ireland, with the exception of 4 or 5 cities. Now, the same thing is wanted for England. There has been some inclination to leave the matter to local option, and the greatest protest was made against that. They said that they have fought the ground all over and have got it narrowed down to Parliament, and they do not propose to be made to go over all the ground again, as they would have to do if it were left to local option. What they are after now is complete Sunday closing by imperial enactment. Such a bill passed the second reading in Parliament in 1889, and the present bill has already passed its first reading at the present session and is down for the second reading for the 18th. The one who has it in charge, however, does not think it will be possible to take it up then. The language last night was to the effect that they would not stand any fooling on the part of the Parliament. We demand a national act, and we demand it this year. We are strong enough to get what we want. This was the tenor of the remarks made, not by light-headed men, but by men of influence, who spoke deliberately, but with an earnestness that could be felt. Much was made of the fact that this present government came to the power pledged to this very thing that they are now demanding. Whether it will come or not cannot be told, but if it does not, there are members of the Parliament who, in the language of Honorable and Reverend Canon Lay, will be looked after. Let the bill once become a law, and you can see the result. All public houses will be closed all the day Sunday, and you well know that when it is done, there will not be much time lost in dealing with any others who presume to open on Sunday. And there is not the leniency shown here in the administration of the law that is often shown in the United States. Positive infraction of the law receives summary treatment. Now look for a moment at a comparison of England and the United States. There you have some recent decisions which show that religious legislation is now accepted as the policy of the country. It has always been maintained, and is now, and justly too, that such legislation is in very essence a union of church and state. But in this country, religious legislation has been all the time considered as the natural thing. There is an established church here, but that does not express it all. The nonconformists are as much in favor of religious legislation as are the churchmen. True, they are opposed to the establishment, but only because it gives the churchmen a better chance than it does the nonconformists. If this establishment were to take place, the only effect it would have would be to make the union of church and state more close. In the United States, there is a controversy as to the teaching of religion in the public schools, with so far the odds strongly against such a thing. Here, it is accepted almost as a matter of course. That is, there is scarcely, say, protest. The clergy are strongly in the majority on the school boards. In the United States, there are Sunday laws of varying strictness in most of the states. California, at least, has none at all. There is no national Sunday law. There may be persecution in one state, as in Tennessee, and perfect freedom in another state. But here, there is already a strict national Sunday law, and the only thing lacking to make it absolutely without any loophole of escape is the complete closing of the public houses, and that is so near that the promoters of the scheme feel it is almost within their grasp. More than this, in the United States, there are thousands of Seventh-day Baptists and thousands more of Seventh-day Adventists who are well known all over the land. And as soon as there is any attempt to enforce a Sunday law, there are scores who are not Sabbath keepers who rise in protest against injustice to a good class of the community. But here, Sabbath keepers are so few in number that they are practically entirely unknown, and that the enforcement of a strict Sunday law could possibly lead to religious persecution has probably never entered the minds of any of the people. The point of all this is, should we leave a field in such a shape as this for the people to go ahead in their career of religious legislation without any more warning that they are now receiving? Should there not be as strong an effort as possibly speedily put forth in this field? Our brethren have seen the necessity of occupying Washington, the capital of the United States, and of having able-bodied men on the ground to take advantage of every opening that appears, that as well. I wish that we might have a force there 10 times stronger than ever has been there yet. But if it is necessary to have a force in Washington so that the truth may be sounded out from there to all the nations, as it could not possibly from any other place, what shall be said of London, the capital not only of England, but of the British Empire and the metropolis of the world? Good work has been done in other places in the kingdom, and in Bath the truth is attracting much attention. Not only so, but it is spreading from there to neighboring places. But no matter how many other places receive the message, it cannot be said that England is really occupied until London is occupied in fact, and not, as now, only in name. When the truth becomes known to any degree in London, then work has been done for the entire kingdom and even for the entire empire. Your delegates from the colonies will tell you the influence that anything done in London has put upon those regions. There are men in Bath and vicinity who have begun to keep the Sabbath, who are carrying on their work 6 days in the week, just the same as they always have, with the exception of their day of rest is the Sabbath. This course will not only attract attention, but will without doubt bring the law down upon them. They have taken the step, prepared to take the consequences. Perhaps this is the way that God has designed that the truth shall come before the people in this country. I confess, it looks to me as though the only way the truth could become generally known here is to have it preached from the prisoner's dock. But when the time comes, and it seems as though it might be very near, we want more people to do the preaching, and we want them in more than one place in the kingdom. Indeed, it seems as though we ought to have the third angel's message known here in the capital as gospel truth before its representatives are brought before the courts as lawbreakers. It is not expected that any ordinary work will move London. It is hardly possible that the great body of the people here can ever be reached with the truth until it is forcibly brought to their attention by the discussions in the courts. But what can we do and ought to do is the work in 100 different places in the city so that the whole city may be permeated with the truth before the great struggle comes. 500 ministers could work here without their work overlapping in the least. But it is not public ministers of the gospel that are to do all the work. Devoted men and women who can do house-to-house work and then gather the interested ones into small meeting places where they can get together and study the Bible may accomplish the most of the work. Rejoice to hear of the good work that has begun in Battle Creek and other places. Does not this mean that the Lord is working upon the hearts of his people to stir them up to go everywhere preaching the word? Whatever may be thought of in other countries, England especially should not be regarded by our people as a foreign country. The people of England and America have a common origin and a common language. The differences in customs and languages are not greater than between different parts of the United States. The people here are more reverent and more religiously inclined than they are generally in America. There is a wide open door here, and it seems as though we should look upon it just the same as we would a section of the United States in which not much had been done. Whoever comes before the people with no thought but of the word which he has to present will find no difficulty on the score of differences in customs and languages. There are no more to be thought of than if he were laboring in another part of the United States. Will you bear with me in touching just one more point? Is there not altogether too general an idea, not perhaps actually expressed, that where there are the most Sabbath keepers and where the most is contributed, there they have a right to expect the greatest amount of labor? As an actual fact, ought not the matter be reversed? The church is the light of the world. Where there are the greatest number of representatives of Christ, there should be the greatest amount of light shed upon the people without the public evangelist. In the work of which we have heard in Battle Creek, is not the Lord showing that he will work through his own people for the enlightenment of the people around them, such as the work sprung up in private? Is he not showing them that they are to leave the ministers free and carrying the light to those who have it not? It is true that the Lord can work upon the hearts of those who do not know the third angel's message, leading them into it without the minister, just as he is working upon the hearts of those who do already know of it. But are there not scores of persons who want a share in the work of the Lord? It is nothing with the Lord to save whether with few or with many, but when all have come over here that can possibly come, there will be only a few, and who would not like to be among the few? If the Lord has blessed the people of any section of the country so that there are many Sabbath keepers there and a large tithe is raised with contributions in proportion, is it that he would have them devote it to all their immediate section? Is it not that we would have them sent out to the sections where light has not yet shone, or but feebly? The tithe is the Lord's, and so is the earth. Therefore, he means that what is raised in any place belongs to the whole world without respect to locality, and that it is to be used to send forth laborers into the field, while the people who stay at home let the light shine to their neighbors. But I will not weary your patience with presenting truth, which you may hear much better from those who are with you in person. My only purpose in addressing you is to call your attention to the fact that this is really a home field, and that there is a crisis approaching here no less than in the United States. The field is white to the harvest. I do not know of any part of the United States where labor can be put forth with such good prospect of success as right here in London. This is a great center. When you send men here, you are sending them to do work not only in this field, but in South America, Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and scores of islands of the sea. I have great faith that God will bless you abundantly at this conference with a greater measure of His Spirit and of the light of truth than ever before, and that it will lead you to give the consideration that is due to this most promising and most important field. May the blessing of God and the fullness of the Holy Spirit be with you and guide you in all of your counsels. Your brother in Christ, E.J. Wagner. The end of his letter.